Phil Vitale's in our studio. You know him as the restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. He's kind enough to come down here on Wednesdays and talk about the restaurant scene in Chicago. Hi, Phil Vitale.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm good.
You look good, though nobody would know that because we've got cloths over the cameras now.
I'm a shy guy.
So I'm reading the Week magazine, and they have under Leisure, Food, and Drink, Critics' Choice, Sushi Luminaries in Three Cities. And it's a story about the great sushi chefs in America. They highlight them in Honolulu, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Here's what they wrote. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Kazi Chan, is that the correct pronunciation?
Chan, yep.
Kazi Chan is, quote, virtually a one-man history of Chicago's sushi scene, said Phil Vitale in the Chicago Tribune, a roving star since he arrived in 95. Today he's the featured attraction at Sushi San, a minimalist, dimly lit joint with a blaring hip-hop soundtrack. Sushi San offers four ways to dine, and they describe them and quote you extensively here.
Yeah.
How about them apples?
How about it? I'm famous.
Yeah. Do you get a residual? Do they send you a check for that?
Yeah, no. I think they sent me half of an edamame bean, and that was it.
Is this guy really as good as there is in America?
No, but he's very good.
Yeah. What's the art of good sushi, anyway?
For the ones with that kind of skill, and that would not include me, it's not only in the great provenance and just getting great, great fish to begin with.
It's the ingredients
and the way you... There's an art to slicing the fish so that you're getting the contact in the mouth that you want. Certain fish you might prefer in a thicker slice, and some in a more delicate slice. And there's a whole discipline to it.
Is it also the combination? I've never had sushi, and will probably die that way.
Mm-hmm.
But is it the combination of foods that go into the roll too?
Well, for sushi, it begins. I mean, sushi refers to the rice actually, to begin with. And yes, that's the critical component, and you're making a roll and you're putting it all together. I like the nigiri sushi, which is the little piece of formed rice with the fish draped on top of it. And my druthers is just get the rice out of the way, and I'm just going to have sashimi, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I just want to just point me toward that raw fish.
But there do seem to be, sushi is a pretty hot genre, if you will, right now?
It is incredibly hot, and it's what's driving it is that there is... for certain generations, there is a fear factor with sushi, and you can overcome it, and some will never. I don't think my mother would ever have sushi as long as she, ever. And some people my age might take a little persuading and all the rest of it, but when you get to my kids' age, when you get to people 30 and under, there are no follow-up questions. Let's go for sushi.
That's
yes.
So true. That
yes.
Is so to my kids are the same way.
I remember years ago, somebody opened a sushi restaurant, and their press representative told me that one of the big selling points was that he was going to have the lowest sushi prices in town. And I said, I don't want to save that much money on my sushi.
Fish.
Right. I want...
Spend a dime. Make sure you got the right kind of fish. And
exactly.
It's cold
exactly.
All the way from...
There are certain things you can advertise low, low prices. How do we do it? Volume. But sushi should not be it.
Fair enough.
And that place did not last.
Yeah. Well, the other ones are. I mean, I'm telling mm-hmm. you that you're absolutely right. My 20-year-olds in my world, if we said sushi, they say, I'll start the car.
Right.
Also, they know I'm paying, but that's a whole other conversation.
Rich Melman told me a number of years ago that he would probably never open another restaurant that did not have at least one sushi-like aspect to it. I mean, even in the Italian restaurants he opens now, they all have crudo. Which is basically Italian for sushi, if you want, or really sashimi because it's just raw fish. He said kids just like it, and you don't have to talk them into ordering it.
And that's a generation that's also more inclined to spend money on dining out
mm-hmm.
than their parents grandparents.
Yeah.
The experience is more important to them than acquiring things. If you have
right.
so much discretionary money, I might have gone and bought things for my house. They will spend money to get out of the house and go eat.
Right.
That's at least my observation. You wrote in the Chicago Tribune, I want Robert McDonald to have a brutal weekend.
I do.
You wrote, I want his back aching, his feet sore, his fingers stiff. I want him counting the hours until Monday when he can put his feet up at last. McDonald is the head waiter at the Blanchard. Why are you wishing ill on this guy?
I'm wishing him a very challenging and very profitable weekend, because the times I've been into the Blanchard, which is up in Lincoln Park, the dining room has not been very full. It's been half full, and this restaurant is too good, in my view, for that kind of support. They deserve more. And so what I'm really doing is telling my friends in out there in Radio Land and Read the Paper Land, please get over to this place. It's a terrific French restaurant. It's beautiful inside. It's a great experience, and more people should be checking it out.
The Blanchard.
Right.
And you said it's tough on the wallet, right?
It isn't that bad, actually, but yeah, your entrees are going to be in the low 30s for the most part, some in the 20s. So it's not a super cheap evening out.
This was your pick for the city's best new restaurant in March 2016.
It is, and there was a chef change in between that time and now, and I think that's probably hurt them a little bit because the previous chef had a much higher visibility, and the new guy who was the sous chef before and was promoted up isn't as well known. And the first chef was probably bringing more people in just on the basis of his name. And then the food was excellent. But the excellent food we liked with the first chef, largely being executed by the guy who's the chef now.
Mm.
He was there the whole time. So the food hasn't dropped off a bit. There's a little less name recognition, and I think it fell off the radar for a lot of people, myself included. And it's great.
I was on the phone the other day, trying to make a reservation at Bistro Campagna in Lincoln Square. And nobody was there, so I was getting their message. And it was spoken by a person who you could tell French was their first language and English was their second. Mm-hmm. Talk about a little air of authenticity. I mean, that really made me feel good about whatever I was getting myself into.
That's a really nice place.
You like that place?
I do.
And at the garden, we've eaten outdoors there, too, and that's a lovely setting. I don't suppose we'll be doing that anytime soon, but you can eat in, of course, but they also have a sort of three-season seating area outside as well, and that was lovely.
They also have a chef table that has room for maybe 12 people, and on the last, they're starting it this week, on the last Thursday of every month, they're going to do a themed set menu. I think it's 3-4 courses for about $85. But there's a 6 o'clock seating as an 8 o'clock seating one day a month. A maximum of 24 people can experience this. And it'll all be different dishes, nothing that's on the regular Bistro Campagne menu. And this tomorrow they're doing a French-Japanese kind of fusion menu. And a month from now, on the last Thursday of the month, April 26th, I think, they'll be doing a French-Polynesian menu.
Wow.
And it could be fun.
That's Bistro Campagne, in Lincoln Square.
Correct.
Yeah. On Lincoln, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So 147 on WGN. I need to pause, Phil. Come back with me for a second.
Sure.
And maybe you've got a question for Mr. Vitel as well, either a suggestion, a recommendation, or a question from him about a place you're interested in. We don't always make room for a lot of calls for you, but here's a chance for you to jump in. I'd love it if you did. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. 312-981-7200. We've talked about Easter reservations, which are kind of like Mother's Day reservations, Phil, but I'll just ask you for any last thoughts along those lines after this on WGN. Well, we'll pick up a phone line or two. We'll start with Pat. He wants to know about the new Phil Stefani restaurant first, and that's in 60 seconds. This message about the weather, which is going to improve. It's going to be sunny and warmer, and you're going to want to golf or play tennis, ride your bike, go for a jog, or at least a nice walk, and that knee of yours is making that not a sure bet. I want you to do what I did, and that is go to the Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park. I'm going there, now that I think about it, on Tuesday. You know, you might go there one time, and that may make the difference. For most folks, it's a series of injections, and this is what they do. At the Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park, they use advanced digital technology. It's the very finest equipment to see exactly where your tissue is compromised. And then they ever so carefully and professionally and expertly, they insert a joint lubricant into that exact spot. They watch it in real time as it goes in. You can too if you want to. I was watching it and said, who's that? They said, it's you. I said, you're kidding. I looked down there. They were doing it to my knee. It's that pain-free, and I'm not making that part up. This is not surgery. You're in, you're out. Your insurance almost surely pays for it. I don't care what your name is. I want you to call this number. Ready? They're in Orland Park. That's 708-888. You can remember that. 0000. 708-888-0000. As in zero pain. It's 153 on WGN. Famed restaurant critic Phil Vitale from the Chicago Tribune is in our studio. How lucky are we?
I don't know.
That was a rhetorical question, Phil. This is Pat. You're on WGN. Pat, how can we help you?
Yeah, I'm just pulling into Phil Stefani's brand new restaurant up here at Pratt and Cicero. And they open tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. It's called Stefani's Prime. You know, he's the guy that owns Tavern on Russian. He's got a couple other places.
Yeah, we've heard of him, but what are you doing there so early? It seemed to me like a day early is not necessary.
Yeah, I know. I was just driving by, and I heard you talking, and so I thought, well, you know, maybe I'd see if there was an opinion that Phil might have about Stefani's, as a matter of fact.
What do you know?
It's a great-looking building.
Go, Phil, go.
Yeah. Do you know Phil Stefani?
Yeah, actually, Phil and I have never spoken, but I've talked to his people. How did you happen to find out it was open? Do you work there? Or?
I live out this way, and I go by here all the time.
I see.
And
Phil thinks that you work there. Phil thinks you're running the joint.
Yeah, I think the general manager just calling, getting me excited about something.
Well, I wouldn't put that above any of them. Do you know much about this new one?
No, it's a steak and seafooder, so it's going to be a lot like the when he took over Ricardo's
Prime?
There on Rush Street. Right, Stefani Prime. It's on Cicero in Lincolnwood. Mark Naur did the decor, and he's a pretty well-known designer, so it's going to look beautiful. And, you know, I've always liked the steak and seafood over at the original.
You haven't reviewed it yet because it hasn't opened. It opens tomorrow.
It opens tomorrow.
Yeah. Are you going to review it?
I think so.
But if it's
not hard to talk into steaks.
Yeah, but if it's a brand that you've already tried and it doesn't seem to be much different than what's already there.
Well, there's something, right. But then again, it's Lincolnwood, and Lincolnwood is not. The typical Lincolnwooder is not running around going, what am I going to do with all these restaurants? So if there's something really quality that's opening that's open there, in addition to the, say, Elwood's and a couple of other restaurants there, that becomes news, especially to the North Shore people who don't always want to drive into the heart of the city to get good chow.
Do you have a steakhouse you like the best in the city?
In the best in the city, I've had an awful lot of luck with Chicago Cut. Over there on the river. I like that a lot. But I'm also a big fan of the old. I love Maple and Ash in the Gold Coast. That in terms of full menu, top to bottom, and wine list and everything, that's probably the best.
Chicago Cut, Maple and Ash, the two you just mentioned. Here's a couple of texts. By the way, thanks for the phone call. Bistro Cam, or Bistro Com, C-A-M, the chef owner died years ago. Who's running the place now, says David. Do you know much about that place?
Approximately nothing.
John, I've heard a lot about the Warbler on the north side. Should I make reservations? The Warbler.
Warbler, that sounds like a bar, isn't it?
John, what does he think about Eddie Merlot or Merlot's?
Eddie Merlot's is a chain. They first opened in out in Burr Ridge, and now they've got a location like right down the stairs here, well, across the street in the whole Nordstrom complex building.
Oh, okay, yeah,
they're
sure.
They're on the lower level,
right?
And I mostly like them in the summer when they get Judy Roberts playing in the piano bar. So that's when you go to Eddie Merlot's, says me. But it's a capable, you know, out of towner doing steaks in Chicago, steak and seafood, kind of pretty.
Yeah, right. Any last minute suggestions for folks that want to eat out Sunday night or Sunday lunchtime?
Well, you know, my flip answer is anyone who'll take you at this point. But let's take a couple places. Might not be. There's the Band of Bohemia, which we were talking about a week ago, up in there in the Ravenswood neighborhood. They're doing a brunch that might not be completely sold out.
I think it is.
Benny's Chop House over here on Wabash.
Benny, Band of Bohemia, I tried to make reservations.
Oh, really? For lunch? For brunch on Easter?
They said, what was it? I did it online.
So you talk to Phil every week and you put it off until yesterday?
You would be amazed at how many of Phil's recommendations we personally then. Listen, a lot is on the line here when you talk, my friend.
Maybe I should give you the names a day out before we talk about
them. I know, no kidding.
And then you can make your reservation.
Well, call or go online. Don't take my word for it. Keep going, Phil.
The Langham Hotel, which is across from Trump Tower. It's the old IBM building. That's a very nice hotel. That's real fancy, though. That's it's a beautiful restaurant.
There's a restaurant in the old IBM building?
Yeah, yeah. They turn it into the Langham Hotel, and it's in there, and that's the trouble. They can't, because of its status as a landmark,
yeah.
They can't have an exterior sign, so you have to know it's there. It's a fancy brunch. It's a $155 brunch, but it should be spectacular. And because they're so low-key, they might not be full. Ditto for the Florentine at the JW Marriott in the Loop.
Who pays $155 for a brunch?
I don't know. Apparently some people. Well, the Florentine is only $75, so I just saved you $80. And at the Florentine, that's another one. It's because it's in the Loop, and it's a Sunday. You might not have as hard a time getting in there. And then our good friends next door, Howells and Hood, are doing a Sunday brunch, and it's $39.
$40, I know. The old train station in Joliet's been refurbished. My folks live out that way.
Really?
And for $40, you can still get in, I believe, to the old refurbished train station for their Easter brunch.
Huh?
I'll report back to you.
All right.
By the way, Phil, before you go, Steve, jump in here real quick. You're on WGN. What did you need, Steve?
Hey, Phil, quick question. Well, two questions. One, is there any food that you will not eat that you just cannot stand and won't even try? And secondly, how do you become a food critic?
Okay, one way to become a food critic is never answer anything but no to the first question. it is your job to try stuff. I have had tarantula, okay? So if it's there, if it's on the plate, and they swear to me it's edible, I'm going to give it a try. I may never do it again. I'm not going back to tarantula.
Would you recommend making a background of journalism or a background of food?
These days, I might go with a background of food. I've always considered myself a reporter who happens to cover restaurants. I don't know if that's the best way to approach it, but since I've been doing it for 28 years, I'm a bad person to say, how do you get started? Because I started
It's been so long since you started.
Dinosaurs rolled the earth. You know, we wrote everything out on papyrus. It was a different world.
Phil Vitale, read him online, chicagotribune.com/dining. They have a paper version of that, and he's in there as well. And he joins us on Wednesdays. Nice to see you. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks for having me.